the way.
We want it been.
Welcome to episode 148 of the Smugglers Galaxy podcast, your favorite Star Wars podcast for the latest information on Star Wars movies, Star Wars news, Star Wars TV shows, Star Wars action figures, Star Wars micro vehicles. And this week we're going to be talking about Indiana Jones. As you can tell, I'm not Glenn, I'm Jason. Glenn is enjoying some time up in the mountains, being a man, making manly fires, drinking manly beers.
Is he chopping manly wood?
Chopping manly wood to put on his manly fires and all that fun stuff. I'm driving this week, so I'm taking control of this show. If you're on the road, get off the road because I will cut you off. I will hunt you down to make sure that I am in control. As you can tell, Jordan's here. Jordan, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm well, man. How are you?
Good. You know, Jordan in person, in real life, is Jordan Duncan. But if you're either scared of things or, wait, you're Jordan Gastly, this is something I've always wanted to ask you. You're Jordan Gastly, is it because you're scared of things or because you like scary things?
It's because I like scary things. I got the name, or I thought of the name just because of my love for ghost stories, whether they're, you know, fictitious ghost stories or like the town urban legend ghost stories. Like it's my favorite genre of story. So, I don't know, like whenever I was trying to come up with, a Twitter handle years and years and years, like, oh man, a decade ago, I wanted to kind of incorporate just my love of ghost stories, and I couldn't think of anything that wasn't cheesy. So I was like, Gastly. I really liked the adjective Gastly.
Yeah.
So I was like, Jordan Gastly. Like, that's kind of cool. So I just went with that.
Okay. So it's nothing to do with Pokemon.
No.
Isn't there a Gastly Pokemon?
There is, but I don't think they have an H in it. I think it's just Gastly. Okay.
Well, yeah, so that's your Twitter and YouTube handle where you do a bunch of toy hunts and stuff like that. So
yeah, I actually just uploaded one yesterday.
Yeah, I haven't been able to watch it yet. I've been so busy.
That's all right.
How was your week? What's new in your life?
Oh my god, I had a weird week, to be honest with you.
Why is that?
Not without getting too deep into it, like I take anxiety medication, and my doctor said, hey, I think we're gonna tweak your anxiety medication a little bit, where we give you a little stronger dose, which I was fine with because I was like, hey, which I requested actually. So so he said, you know, you're taking this amount, start taking this amount, and we'll see where it goes. So I started taking that amount that they gave me, which I was on a really low dosage. So the doctor had doubled it. So, and then Friday, not this past Friday, but Friday, 2 weeks ago, I'm just sitting at work. I came back from lunch, the entire morning was normal. And I'm just sitting at my desk at work. And all of a sudden I start to get this really bad vertigo. And it lasted the entire weekend. And I was supposed to meet friends the next morning, which I did. And then my buddy Richard, who's in the toy hunt videos, he's been on the show before. Yeah. He drove, so which was good. But I was experiencing vertigo so bad that I actually checked myself into the ER on the following Sunday morning, just because I was like, something's not right.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Long story short, I'm fine as far as tests go, but the doctors at the ER were like, yeah, it's probably because of your medication. It's like, okay. Well, that was an expensive answer, but at least I know I'm not having a heart attack or a stroke. So, and then the so that evening I ended up dropping back down to my original dosage, and then every like I was fine the next morning. It's like, oh, geez, this is weird. But the week after that, like I was kind of, getting back into the swing of things after being taken out for nearly 4 days. Was pretty crazy.
But you're okay
Yeah, it was
now.
nuts. Oh yeah, I'm fine.
Everything's
So,
back to normal. We're all normal here. How are you?
yes, it's a boring conversation
Yeah,
anyway.
exactly. No, I was going there. Yeah, your anxiety conversation is boring, sir. Let's move on to more important things.
This is a Star Wars podcast. No one wants to hear about your mental health, Jordan.
Exactly. I didn't want to say anything, but I'm glad you picked up on that. So thank you.
Right. Well, I was smelling what you were stepping in, so.
I had a crazy week. Last weekend, I was up in South Bend, Indiana. We drove up for a funeral. Thursday night, Friday had the service. Friday we drove home. Well, we drove to Nashville because it was exhausting. Like to do 2 12-hour trips in 2 days is just too much. So we stopped in Nashville. We were home on Saturday, but this past weekend we had to go to Chicago for a wedding. So we drove the kids and I all the way up to Chicago, and my wife too. Friday. Had the wedding Saturday and we just came home on Sunday, but we had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, because I bought tickets to see Matchbox 20 in 2019 for 2020,
Pre-pandemic. Whoa.
pre-pandemic. And obviously the pandemic happened, so they canceled that. They delayed it a year, the concert, to 2021. 2021 rolled around. They said we're delaying it 2 more years for 2023. So that was Sunday night. So I had to race back Sunday night. We also figured out, like in April, wait a minute, the concert's the same weekend as the wedding. How can we do this? So it was a race home. So we got home at 5-ish. The concert was at 7:30.
Whoa.
Quickly showered and changed, and we went up to the concert.
Wait, what venue was the concert at?
Solaris at Lakewood, which is
Oh.
down by the airport, which is another. Well, the traffic wasn't that bad. It was about 40 minutes.
Yeah, but you went to Lakewood. That's like my like
What? Is ignorance bliss or
no,
something? What?
no, 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 no. It's just I feel like on the tier of Atlanta concert venues that Lakewood's towards the bottom. I've seen no, granted, I've been there multiple times and I've seen some fantastic bands there. But just I as ease of getting in and out of the parking lot, no thanks. Just the setup of the amphitheater, no thanks. Just I always have to anytime there's a band that I want to see, I have to weigh, do I like the band more than I like Lakewood? So
Yeah, ignorance was bliss. I didn't realize it was one way in, one way out, because getting out was
it used
extremely
to not be
difficult.
like that.
Really?
Yeah.
So they engineered a worse way.
So the all right. When did you move to Georgia?
2019.
Okay. All right. So this would have been the aughts. So 2000 to 2009-ish. There's two parking lots. And whenever I was going, they were both accessible, but somewhere towards the end of the late aughts, it turned into a paid for only, like a VIP parking lot.
Yeah,
And
that's
I
what we.
don't, okay, did you end up doing that?
I ended up doing that because it was so difficult to get into the parking lot in the first place.
Yes.
I just paid the 40 bucks for the VIP parking
Ooh.
because I did not want to get back out into that line of traffic. I was just like, this is not worth my time. So I
Man.
paid it.
And I always and
That's two
I
Black Series figures.
it is and I probably shot myself in the foot at the time because I remember because the parking lot that's on the other side of the amphitheater is gravel. And you have your parking attendants kind of ushering people in, showing you where to park, and then the other one though, the now VIP was paved, and it was always paved, and it was parking, parking spots that are clearly marked. And I was parking there going, why is everybody else parking on this other side of this venue? Why? And then of course, after I said that out loud one day, it turned, you know, they're like, oh, we're gonna start charging. This is the VIP parking lot now. And I was like, ah,
it's all your fault.
It is. Sorry,
thanks
guys.
A lot.
Sorry, Atlanta.
But it was a good concert, Matchbox 20. They did all their hits like right at the end. So it was a nice finale, I guess you would say. And that last song, the last 30 seconds, the clouds, the sky opened up and the clouds just poured on us.
Oh, but man.
Even though I was in the covered section to get back to the car, we were just drenched.
Yep.
That was not fun. But I was laughing hysterically. Even though it wasn't fun, I was laughing. I was just like, this is ridiculous. But it was a good time. Glad I did it. And got some sleep last night, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, well, it also sounds like you've just done a lot of driving within the last handful of weeks. Yeah. Because the week prior to all of what you just mentioned, you drove to and from Disney.
Yeah, it's my wife calculated it was like 38,000 miles.
That's nuts.
That we drove, because we drove to Disney, we drove to South Bend, then we drove to Chicago.
That's crazy. That's a lot of time in a car.
It is. I'm glad to be done. I have two more road trips in August, but then I think that's it for the year, and I'm not getting in a car unless I have to for work.
That's fair.
Or a meetup, or if I need to eat.
or have to do daily responsibilities.
Live. Yeah.
Or like go to the store.
Yeah.
Or get gas, which is weird that I wouldn't need that if I wasn't driving my car.
Yeah. Did you pick anything up in the past couple of weeks? I haven't had you on in a hot second.
Oh, yeah, man. Let's see. Star Wars-wise, I think I actually have picked some stuff up. Let me take a gander at my room behind me just to refresh my memory. I picked up... So I was missing two of the figures from the Black Series Return of the Jedi 40th Anniversary Wave 1.
Yeah.
I was missing Leia and Lando. So I picked those up because Pulse was having that 35% off sale if you're Pulse Premium. But you had to, of course, you had to buy a minimum of $75 in order to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
But Richard actually got in on it with me. There were two things that he was looking for. And I think an $105 or $100 purchase ended up dropping down to like 60 something bucks. So it was worth it. I picked those up. I've pre-ordered a ton of stuff. I think that might it be all Star Wars related. I've got a handful of other things, like some Indiana Jones stuff here and there. And then the new Ninja Turtle figures came out this past week from the Mutant Mayhem.
The new movie.
Yeah. Which looks fantastic. Like the trailers look amazing. The art style looks so good. And I wasn't going to dive in on those. But then I saw them in person and I was like, man, that's a lot of figure for $10. So I kind of jumped in on the brothers on that wave.
Yeah. I like the turtles. I'm excited to see that movie, but there's a part of me that, you know, you see that animation style, which is like heavily brushed, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's derivative of Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse.
100%. 100%.
And it's like, it's just tough being the second person. I know this is like the new trend in animation, but because of the second, I'm like, come on guys, you couldn't do anything original. You had to copy them.
I mean, at least they gave some nice updated looks to the crew. Like, it's not like they're the same four turtles, just in a different art style. At least we're getting a little bit of variation on them. So I don't hate it. Also, I don't know. I guess I'm always more of the, show me what you got. I thought the trailers looked pretty good. So I'm on board. Oh, Spider-Verse was really good though.
I'm totally on board for the movie. I can't wait to see it. It's just, there's a part of me, there's a voice in the back of my head like, really? You can't do something original in your soul? But whatever. That's just me.
That's fair.
This week I got the Black Series 3-pack with Anakin, Yoda, and Obi-Wan, the Force Ghosts.
Oh, man, I canceled my pre-order on that.
Because?
Well, man, I just had a lot of stuff coming in at once.
Oh, yeah.
And that would have been another $80.
Yeah.
And not that I don't want it, I do want it. But I, like right now, I'm like, yeah, give me a month and then I'll go backtrack and get it. I don't see that selling out
No,
just
no.
because it's a Pulse exclusive. So I want it because I'm still trying to get all those 40th anniversary figures. How is it? Does it look cool?
Yeah, it looks cool. I mean, I don't open it up to see the card backs, but to see that repack like in large scale with those figures, the figures look great. I would imagine the figures are repacks of the Walmart exclusive, and wasn't one of them a Walgreens exclusive, the Yoda and Obi-Wan?
The Obi-Wan was the Walgreens, yeah.
And Yoda might have
Walmart
been
was
the
the Yoda.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks great. I like it. No complaints from me, but yeah, like you're saying, I just got back from Disney. And oh, wait, there's an $80 charge. Oh, great. Thank you.
It also got moved up. It wasn't supposed to be out until like August or September. And then I think people started to get notified that it had arrived sooner than later. So that was another thing. Like if I was still like, 'cause I budgeted for that month. So
Yeah, that's
I was
wild.
like, oh, all right. So
So maybe in a month or two you can get it.
yeah.
The other thing I picked up, so when I was in Celebration Anaheim, Andy Loney, who's a vendor, had a bunch of Micro Machine Titanium series. They came in a plastic bubble. They were maybe about 6, 7 inches high, but the vehicles were about 2 inches. He had sign-off samples, and he was selling those for $30. So I got like the Wookiee Flyer, I got a Starfighter, and two more, and I can't remember what they were, but Brian's Toys on eBay late fall last year had the Death Star and the Millennium Falcon sign-off samples. So they're technically prototypes. These are the things that Hasbro would sign off and say, yeah, go ahead in full production with these. Sometimes it's quality just to make sure, yep, these are still good. We're good. So it is part of the process. So it is, I consider it pre-production. But they were asking $70. So the Falcon was the one I was interested in. And I made an offer with Ryan's Toys, because you can do that on eBay for $30, because I had just paid for them for $30. I didn't want to pay $70 for the Falcon. And they came back and said, oh, I'll do 65. So I just let that expire.
That always bugs me on eBay whenever you're like, make offer. And I realize that the bargaining chip is you go as low as you can at first to meet your sweet spot in the
In the
middle.
middle, yeah.
But whenever like the high point is you're listing it at 70, you're like, I can do 65. Buddy, eBay doesn't care about that $5. Like it's gonna like
Yeah,
just
yeah.
That's such a weird flex. I never understood it.
I don't either. And he should have took the $30, to be honest, because he listed while I was at Disney. Anthony Pagano, who's a prototype collector, messaged me and said, hey, this is up for auction now. So it started at 99 cents. And I was like, all right, I'll throw out $5. And last Sunday, it was the end of the auction. So it was about 9 day auction. And I'm sitting there watching it down to 10 seconds. And I just, you know what? $30. I threw out $30 because that's what I was going to offer him anyways. I was able to win the Falcon for $15.
Nice.
I'm like, yeah, boy, I said $30, so let's watch the Death Star and see what happens. I threw out another $30 offer. I got it for 15. I'm like,
You got both of those for your original offer. That's
yep.
awesome.
You should have took the $30. Could have made 60 and said he got 30, but
Yeah, and eBay takes their cut up front now, so
yeah.
that you paid 15, but that dude probably got like 11.
Oh, dang. That's a big chunk right there.
Yeah.
How much is that percentage?
I don't know. I'm making
It's
the
like
I feel like it's
20-ish.
always yeah, I feel like it's a big. I mean, I guess I kind of would almost rather that because I would ha sometimes hate getting that email from eBay going, oh, hey, we're about to hit your PayPal for this month's worth of fees.
That's crazy. But yeah, so that's what I picked up this week.
That's cool, man.
So I was excited. I have what, six of those now. I have a sign-off sample, but the card was torn off of it for the Slave One. That's back when they were doing the Ultimate Galactic Hunt, and some of them were painted silver.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the sign-off sample for that silver one, too. So I have like six or seven of those, actually.
Nice.
But yeah.
I actually, before we jump from action figure talk, I wanted to show this to you real quick.
Sure.
Because we are about to start talking about Indiana Jones.
So
I got the Walter Donovan figure.
Yeah. Man in suit figure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Last Crusade's my favorite Indiana Jones film. And I was wondering, because I've actually been really impressed with the crew and their sculpting on these Indiana Jones figures.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the same crew that sculpts the Black Series.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think they're hitting their stride, because I feel like a lot of the Black Series figures that have been coming out lately have been some of the best. Like the recent Jedi Luke, the Clone Wars Darth Maul.
Yeah.
The Cal Kestis that just came out, like they're all really good. But then I got the Walter Donovan, and something stood out to me. So, you know, I've said it on this show that one of my big gripes with Black Series is that they don't have a lot of them don't have the double knee joint.
Yes.
Which I've slowly have been coming around to the single joint aesthetically. I get it. So I'm
well, welcome to the dark side there.
Thank you. I was told we have cookies.
Yes. You just don't get any.
You jerk. But I'm sitting here, I'm messing around with a Walter Donovan figure, and I see that it has double knee joints.
Why?
And I'm like, wait a minute. This looks familiar.
Oh.
He's Tarkin from the waist down.
Oh my gosh. They're reusing parts on Indiana Jones.
Yes. And I was like, there's no way that that's Tarkin. And I grabbed my Tarkin figure. It is the same boots. It is this. It is 100%. It's Tarkin from the waist down. And I just thought to myself, I was like, you know, I get it. It's the same team. They already have the means. Get it. But also, that's a new toy line, and you're already recycling stuff from another toy line.
Well, that's Hasbro for you, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I had a good chuckle. I mean, everything from the waist up, though, is brand new. Like, so, or at least I hope it, to the naked eye, it's new.
Wow.
But after I realized that, like, I can't unsee it now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I had to laugh at it.
Well, at least he's not wearing slippers. It's not that version of Tarkin. Oh man, that's crazy. I'm surprised, but at the same time, I'm not surprised. It's the Hasbro team. They'll do whatever they can to make sure that they're not paying too much to make a figure.
Yeah, I guess. And that was also one of the ones that was an exclusive. It was like a Pulse exclusive or online fan channel.
Walter Donovan was?
Yeah. I think he's a fan channel exclusive. So you can get him on Pulse and Amazon. And I think some of the specific like GameStops or whatever. But
yeah, I guess there's not a demand for Walter Donovan. And they didn't want to have a peg warmer out there of Walter Donovan.
I guess, but I mean, I don't know. I just thought it was funny that they used the Tarkin legs.
Yeah, he was also in, his name is escaping me, but he was also in Game of Thrones and Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, he was Veers.
General Veers. And one of the maesters.
What's his name?
Maester Purcell?
I think so.
Purcell might be the guy that creates the Frankenstein version of the mountain.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyways, been a while since I watched Game of Thrones.
Anyways, I do have some news, so let's jump into the news, and then we'll talk Indiana Jones and the old man trying to find his dial to change the channel on the TV.
All right.
Kathleen Kennedy talked to Games Radar Plus, which I've never heard about, but she said she's talking about the new Rey stuff, and she said, I think what's always great about Star Wars is it's the big galaxy, and what we're coming off is a major war with the First Order, and now Rey has made a promise to Luke, and that's really the core of where they're going with the new story. And I think It offers a tremendous opportunity to introduce new characters and start with something fresh, because we culminated with what George Lucas was creating, and now we could take it and move to the next chapter, which I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm always happy when Lucasfilm goes in a different direction, because I feel like Solo and Rogue One were great. Mm-hmm. That's a different direction. Even though it's tied to the Star Wars saga, the Skywalker saga, it is different, and it's not, you know, it's not a continuation mm-hmm. of what George made. So if they can take Rey and Finn into a new direction, I think there's a potential for greatness.
I always thought it was a missed opportunity that they didn't explore Finn's force sensitivity side.
Yeah.
In those last two films.
Yeah.
They kind of did, in that if you watch that Lego holiday special, you know, she was training Finn.
Yeah.
Which I don't think that's obviously not canon, right?
Yeah.
Like it's
more parody.
Yeah.
But you could sorry to interrupt, but when you watched that, you could tell the writers care, and they wanted the same thing, and they were like, this is our opportunity, so let's explore mm-hmm. it now. Let's do the thing we wanted to see in the movie.
Mm-hmm. I would be very interested to see if they can convince Johnny Boyega to come back, because I know he caught a lot of what's the word I'm looking for?
Flack, difficulty.
Flack, difficulty, but also a lot of unnecessary racism.
Yeah.
For the character, as did you know, Rose, Ray. Ray. Well, also the Carrie Marie Tran, who played yes. Rose Tycho, and a lot of sexism towards Ray.
Everyone but the white people.
Right.
The white males, I should say, because I know
they're right, related yeah. too. Because I mean, they forced Daisy Ridley off of Instagram,
yeah,
which I thought was 100% unnecessary. But I will say, despite all of that, I'm very happy that she's reprising her role as Rey,
mm-hmm.
and I really want to see what a mentor Rey can do, as opposed to an apprentice Rey.
Yeah.
Who was learning and you know, like she said, trying to find her place in all of it.
Yeah.
Right. I want to know what that grounded Rey looks like. I think
yeah.
that'll be an interesting direction for that film.
And when we were at the hotel this past weekend, The Force, they were doing a Star Wars marathon on what, TNT, TBS? Mm. And The Force Awakens was on, and it was the scene in the bar in Takadona. With Maz Kanata, her whole bar thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at Rey's costume, and I'm like, she's wearing the same thing throughout all three movies. You know, if you're stuck on a desert planet your whole life, and you see all these different uniforms, outfits or whatever, I think you'd want to start exploring different options. You wouldn't be stuck in the same thing over and over again. So I hope, at the very least, she has a new costume in the new movie. I say all that to say, new costume, please.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how much of that was more like, that's all she's ever known. So yeah. It's just like what she's used to. She's like, yeah, I'll just wear this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to that point, in Rise of Skywalker, she's wearing the white version mm-hmm. of that. And so it's like, yeah, it must be. She changed her clothes at some point and said, you know, I just, I want what I had, but just pure and white.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, new costume, please. Something different. Josh D'Amaro, he was interviewed about the Galactic Star Cruiser,
mm-hmm.
and he said something will happen with the property, which made it seem like it's not just going to be shut down and bulldozed. They're going to do something with it. It's not going to just go away for 20 years and be reissued at some point.
Right, because I know
renovated.
We talked about this off the podcast multiple times.
Yeah.
Where it was unclear if they were going to use it as the tax write-off because mm-hmm. they were shutting it down. You know, and there was, you and I were speculating that it was like, well, if they take the tax write-off, then that's not their property anymore. That's property that they just can't use, and because they took the money for it for the yeah. tax write-off. So I don't like, I mean, I know that it was a that thing came with a hefty price tag to construct and develop. And I mean, I also know that Disney isn't hurting for money, and not at least not anytime soon.
Well, they kind of are because they bought Fox.
Right, but that's not the same. That's like that's different departments, right? Like each department has those budgets. Yeah, they all kind of trickle up to like the same figurehead in Bob Iger, but the money that they're losing from Fox isn't necessarily the same money that they're losing or gaining from theme park stuff, right? So I don't, and I again, I'm not, I don't know how it's structured. I don't know who sends the dollars which way or the other, but theme park wise though, I think they, let's theoretically say this entire thing is already paid for and they're not taking that tax write-off. I mean, that is a huge chunk of property that's just, again, going to waste. So
Well,
I'm very curious as to what it's going to evolve into and what that will entail.
yeah, I wonder because some estimates said it was a $300 million property, but other people were saying it was close to $1 billion once you start factoring training costs. They had to create a new algorithm. So if, person A does this throughout the day, then they need to follow this path to get to the final result. But if they do something else, you need to follow a different path. So there was a lot of technical challenges that were involved. There was acting, so there's physical people involved. And so they were saying it might have been closer to $1 billion. But Disney, not only are they creative when it comes to animation and product and development and property, intellectual property, but they also hire the most creative lawyers and accountants. So, are the accountants looking at this and say, well, we can just throw everything out, but just we can keep the property, but we can write off 300 million because of X, Y, and Z. And is that where they're getting that number? So then in 5 years, they can continue to th use the property. They don't have to bulldoze it. I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
Speculation, but also this week, Hasbro made available the 212th Clone Trooper pack, the four pack on Hasbro Pulse.
Was the vintage collection, right?
Vintage collection,
Yeah.
yeah, for $60. That's $15 a figure. When these things originally came out a couple of years ago, it may have been pre-pandemic, it was about $11 per figure. And it was supposed to be a way to get figures out there to army builds to get things out to us without having to pay an exorbitant amount of money. But here we are paying $60 for four figures, $15 a figure. That's no different than buying a figure on the peg now.
Yeah. You just found four of them out there, out and about.
It's pretty close to that. I mean, it's like
Yeah.
$16.50, $16.99 or something like that, but still it's up there.
Yeah, that's all. Was it ever? 'Cause I never bought any of the Army Builder packs for Vintage Collection. Like I know that there's a handful of them.
Yeah.
Was it ever like the better deal?
It
Or
was.
was it always equivalent to four figures on the shelf?
No, it was. It's not equivalent. It's still not equivalent to four figures on the shelf, but it's the gap is closing. So before it might have been $3 between it. So you're saving $3 per figure, but now we're closer to like $1.50. So that, like I said, the gap is closing. It's not as much of a value as it once was, which stinks. But,
Yeah, that's a bummer.
and I didn't order it, and I didn't order that the Tusken Raider thing from Book of Boba Fett. They did a four pack of those guys, but I even think it was more expensive than $60. I can't remember off the top of my head. Oh no, you know what? They originally said it was going to be $55. The week before it released, and then it dropped, and then it was $60. And
Oh, that's weird.
because of that, I was just like, no, I crossed my arms and said, no, I'm not ordering from you right now, because that's just not good practice, I think.
No, it's not.
And what happened in a week where you needed to jack up prices? I can't remember. Right. Was it? Yeah, I think it was $5. I think it was the N1 Star speeder. The man, I have so many thoughts right now in my head at the same time. The N1 Starfighter, sorry, the Mandalorian version. They said it was 129 the week before, and then the week of it was 131 or 130. There was a dollar increase, which. Yeah, so what? It's a dollar against $130. It's like, what's one more? But at the same time, the week before, don't tell us it's 129, and then the day it's released, right. Say it's 130.
Right.
But whatever. Minor details. Also, Hasbro released two new Black Series, or they said that there's two new Black Series coming, both available July 14th at Target.
Yeah, I was excited about these.
The Clone Commander Apo, which is like a light blue deco on a Phase 3 Clone Trooper from Kenobi. But I get so... I'm so into Star Wars, and I know a lot about Star Wars. But when they start releasing these clones with these unique decos, I'm like, wait, I guess I have to go back and watch the scenes because I don't remember where Clone Commander Apo was.
I don't remember either. And for a second there, I thought it might have been this clone, but I remember that one. He had a beard. He had he had a full beard on that one. So,
yeah, it's not him. Or if it is him, it's him from a earlier version, and Hasbro just repackaged what they have.
Would it be maybe a clone from one of the flashback scenes?
It's quite possible. I just don't remember.
Yeah, I need to go back and rewatch Kenobi. It's been a while.
The one I'm really excited is the. What?
I said it's been a year, actually.
Yeah, you're exactly. The one I am excited about is the Darth Vader duels end with the cracked helmet and the scarring on his little chest plate. Both are $27.99, so we're approaching $30 per Black Series figure for just a regular version.
Yeah, you're getting that the $3 exclusive tax on those too.
That's true.
So.
But
but with the way that Target has been handling their exclusives, I feel like unless something drastic happens and changes with Target and they start ordering far less than what they have been ordering for Black Series exclusives, we can easily let those hang out for about a month and a half, and then they'll start to trickle down towards the $20 price point, the $18 price point.
Yeah, no rush right now.
Yeah.
Hasbro also released a bunch of indie products, so we can kind of pivot now from Star Wars to Indiana Jones and just ease our way into it by talking about it.
Pre-ordered a bunch of those, too.
Yeah, did you get the Indiana Jones with the tie?
I did.
From Last Crusade.
Yep.
The Knight Templar, did you get him?
Yep, got him.
Which I found out this week. I've never heard about this before. So with Indiana Jones, apparently in the, I need to find the book because it was the movie version, the novelization of the movie where they reveal the knight had some, so he was a young knight and every day he had a drink from the cup to keep himself young. But there was a couple days where he had moments of like, do I really want to do this anymore? He was questioning what he was doing and he didn't drink. And because of that, he would age rapidly. And he was like, oh wait, no, I got to drink.
Oh, no so way. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so because of that, that's how he got older.
Oh, man.
Because he was a young guy, and it wasn't that he aged slowly over those thousands of years. It was just he had a crisis of faith, and he was just like, do I really want to do this?
Right.
Which changes the way I see the movie, and now I want to go find the book.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool, though.
Elsa was one of the ones revealed.
It's in my cart. I haven't pulled the trigger on Elsa Schneider yet.
What's your reservation?
Just because
cost.
$75 worth of pre-orders coming in on the same day versus $125 coming in on the same day.
She's the one that can go by the curb.
I mean, I'm going to get her eventually because I do want to build the artifact from that wave.
Okay.
Which means that I'm going to have to buy a couple of the figures that I'm not too jazzed about.
Yeah, that's how they get you. That's how they get you.
That's exactly how they get me. But
I'm glad they don't do that with Star Wars.
I'm gonna do it because I'm a sucker. Also, I know that we make the joke of with this Indiana Jones line, how we get multiple versions of Indiana Jones from one movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, aside from milking it that way, there's not really a lot of character depth. So I'm like, I got to get all the Indiana Jones I can while I can get it, because if this line lasts past 3 more years, I'd be shocked.
No, I don't think it's going to last 6 more months.
So
the movie's here. I think interest is going to wane a little bit, and it's going to die, unfortunately.
But I wouldn't disagree with you. So that's why I'm trying to get it all in while I can.
Yeah. I just hope they make the Temple of Doom version of Short Round and Indiana Jones so I can make the bridge.
They've
Willie Scott. They got to make Willie too.
They got to make Willie, but the Temple of Doom indie that just got released this week. I've seen it a couple times.
Is it the white shirt or is it the torn sleeve? The James Bond version.
Yeah, the torn sleeve. There's the hypnotized indie with no shirt.
Then there's, yeah. They made a topless Harrison Ford?
They did. He has a little mark on his head.
Okay.
And then there's torn shirt indie. And then Short Round is in that wave. And who else is in that wave? The Dial of Destiny indie. Helena Shaw is in that wave. And then there's somebody else that I'm forgetting.
Have they revealed the Dial of Destiny indie? Did I miss that?
Yeah, it came out like they revealed Dial of Destiny indie and Helena Shaw, because they're in this wave too with all the Temple of Doom with the Temple of Doom characters.
Okay, so I must have missed that.
Yeah, I'll remind me whenever you jump into some news, I'll find it on my phone and I'll text you the link.
Because I saw that Dr. Voller, which is Mad Mikkelsen's
character. I'm going to get that after seeing the movie.
And Ronaldo, which is Antonio Banderas, were being released. And I was like, why are they releasing these two guys before we get an Indiana Jones?
Mm-hmm.
But so apparently, I just missed it.
So, it's bugging me until I figure out who that one. But the Build an Artifact is the giant skull with the Shankara stones from Temple
yes.
of Doom.
Okay.
But Short Round was in that wave.
Right, I'll have to track that down.
So, they've just started to hit. Like, I've seen them a couple of times just within the last 2 weeks. So I think Short Round is going to be the one everybody wants.
Yeah.
So, I've seen them at least 2 or 3 different targets so far.
I'll have to chase that down.
Especially the one by your house. So.
Yeah, okay. The other one they released or announced this week was Henry Jones Sr., Sean Connery.
That's the other one I pre-ordered.
Yep. So those are all coming.
Henry Jones Jr.
Before we start talking about Dial of Destiny, I just want to ask you your opinion on a couple things.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones, in his leather jacket, do you prefer the tie or no tie version?
I probably prefer no tie.
Yeah, same.
But the tie is from my favorite movie, so I don't know. I'm torn.
I
gotta go no tie though.
Yeah, I'm the same because it's just the original look.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders version. Elsa, Willie, Marion, or Helena?
Elsa, Willie, Marion, or Helena? It's a toss up between Elsa and Marion.
Oh, really? Elsa.
It's my favorite Indiana Jones film, so I have a soft spot for Elsa.
Okay. I could see that. That's the most emotional of the Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Movie. Yeah. And something that like I think is interesting about Elsa is, yeah, she was German, and then
she's a Nazi.
Well, she aligns herself with the Nazis, right? She with Walter Donovan, and then the other, I can't remember the general's name who dies in the when the tank goes over the edge.
Yeah.
But Elsa's in it for the Grail. Like, if it meant betraying the Nazis to keep the Grail, she would do that
She would
too.
do that. Yeah, in a heartbeat.
So,
Yep.
like, that's why, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but whenever she hands Walter Donovan the chalice, and Walter Donovan, he holds it and he's like, ah, this is definitely like the cup of a king or something like that. Like, in the background, you see that she looks at Indy and she kind of gives like a little head shake, like she purposefully grabbed the wrong one.
Wrong one.
Now,
Interesting. I don't think I've ever noticed that.
granted, it's completely probably just coincidence that when the camera focuses on Walter Donovan, she probably just looked to the side. And she did, she was just trying to look like she was doing something in the background. But it does have this weird look where she looks back at Indiana Jones and she kind of like does a little head wag back and forth.
Yeah, interesting. I'll have
So,
to. You're making me go back to rewatch it. Ah, such work. But no, I'll go watch it. Short Round or Henry Senior? Who's your preferred?
oh, Henry Senior. Henry
Yeah.
Senior. Yeah.
Ark of the Covenant or The Lost Grail? Your preferred MacGuffin.
All right. This is going to be a cheap answer. You ready?
Yeah.
Movie wise, Holy Grail, but actual mythology wise, Ark of the Covenant.
Okay. All right. I'll accept it. I'll allow it. I'm just going Ark of the Covenant, which is classic. But I could, it just depends on the day because I could be convinced that Last Crusade is the best Indiana Jones movie. I think that was peak Spielberg. I think he was using all the tools available to him. This was before Jurassic Park. I think the Spielberg that we knew peaked with Jurassic Park and Schindler's List. I think after Schindler's List, he changed, but this is right before all that change. And so I think that's probably the best Spielberg version of Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade.
Yeah, I mean, they were still using those really solid practical effects and the miniatures.
Yeah.
While you were asking me questions, I looked up the adventure series Wave 2, and so that was all the figures. There was one that I thought I was forgetting. So there's Helena, Dial of Destiny Indy, there's Hypnotized Indy, Torn Shirt Indy, and Short Round.
Okay. I'll be chasing those down.
So
A couple more here. Shankara
yeah.
Stones or Crystal Skull? Which do you prefer?
Unpopular opinion, I'm going Crystal Skull.
Oh, I knew when you said unpopular opinion. Crystal Skull, why? I'm curious.
I actually rewatched Crystal Skull recently, within the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's the first time I'd
Same.
seen it since the theater. And I say this as somebody who really enjoys The Last Jedi. there were a lot of things in that film that I ended up really liking. Like after like the initial shock of what I had seen, because I didn't even hate it whenever I saw it in the theater in 08. But knowing what I was getting myself into, there were some things that I liked that they set up in that. Like I liked that they set up that he went from fighting Nazis for personal fun to fighting Nazis as a duty to America. Like,
Yeah.
he ended up enlisting and actually fighting in World War II. I liked the idea that as you made the World War II to Cold War switch over, he switched from Nazis to Russians. Like, that just seemed like a very natural progression. And also knowing what the movie is about, with the not necessarily extraterrestrials, but these beings that can exist between time and space.
Yeah.
You go back and it's very 1950s science fiction film,
Yep.
whereas when you watch all the original ones, they're very very much like the serials they were based off of.
Yeah.
So it was mimicking the source material very well, I thought. So there were little nuances to that film where I'm like, okay, well, I liked this, I liked this. I didn't like this so much, but my big complaint, not even complaint, my biggest critique that I have with Crystal Skull is that the stinger was that, let's go ahead and just call them extraterrestrials, however they exist between time and space or in outer space or whatever.
Interdimensional
Yeah,
beings.
interdimensional beings. that's just something now that I have to view the rest of the Indiana Jones, like these Indiana Jones movies 1 through 3 now exist in a world where this is a thing that existed all along.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of weird. But also just, I feel like it's a lot for Indiana Jones, right? Like the first and third movie, you had biblical artifacts that had supernatural power, which in the world of Indiana Jones almost proves the existence of some kind of higher up or deity,
mm-hmm.
right? And same kind of like the same thing with the Shankara stones, right? Or being hypnotized by the Shankara stones. And I was just, and now he's got to worry about aliens, man. Like, I just feel like that's a lot. Like, he just needs to sit down and take a breather.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I interpret it. It did fall into the whole God worship thing. You know, mm-hmm. like we're worshiping God with the Ark of the Covenant. They're worshiping a God with the Shankara stones. And they were worshiping a God with the chalice. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so they were worshiping gods who just happened to be aliens
mm-hmm.
in that last movie. So I kind of whooshed it all together and I said, okay, I could see how it works. I had to make excuses in my head to say, okay, yeah, okay, okay. They went in that way. Dial of Destiny is brave because it kind of went into a different direction, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Villains, Belloc, Walter Donovan, or Mola Ram. You're gonna say Walter Donovan.
No, I think I'm gonna go Belloc on this one.
Because he's the anti archaeologist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. Bugs, snakes, rats, or ants.
Bugs, snakes, rats, or I'm gonna go rats.
I just have to go with the classic snakes because I don't like snakes. And why did it have to be snakes?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my nonsensical quiz about Indiana Jones.
It's a good quiz.
Thanks. I worked all 5 minutes on it. So we both saw Dial of Destiny this past weekend, and we're going to talk about that. First, we're going to go non-spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie, it's going to be safe to talk and listen in. And then we're going to go down into spoiler territory. And you can just cut off the podcast then if you haven't seen the movie. So, Jordan, what were your thoughts on Dial of Destiny?
I was incredibly pleased with the film we ended up getting.
Yeah.
And I try not to be one of the people that are all like, oh, well, I'm cautiously optimistic. It's like, listen, at the end of the day, I'm either going to like it or not. And it's okay if I don't like it. But I also feel that, you know, things like beloved franchise like Star Wars and Indiana Jones, you're going to get that, oh, I hope they don't mess it up, or I hope they don't ruin it. I'm like, buddy, like if the movie's not good, the movie's just not good. It's not going to ruin the other movies that exist. So I was incredibly pleasantly surprised. And the more I thought about the film, the more I really enjoyed it just because of the subject matter. I also made it a point to not read anything about the film going in mm-hmm. outside of just knowing the film was called Dial of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to speculate what the dial was or what it could have been or what, you know, what it was tied to. And I'm very glad I didn't, because the ride I went on, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah. Same. I didn't listen to any pre-interviews. I didn't watch. I did see the trailers, but I didn't look at any reviews. I tried to go in as blind as possible. And I'm glad I did, because like you were saying, there was a part of me that's like, I don't know with Lucasfilm. Are they really going to pull this out? Spielberg's not involved. Lucas is not involved. You know, they've got that going against the movie in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
The initial reviews from Cannes was a little lukewarm, so I'm like, oh, it's probably more of the same. And I was watching the movie, and by the time I got to the end, I'm like, I really enjoyed this. This was good.
Mm-hmm.
I just went with my mind kind of clear, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and watched the movie. And by the end, I'm like, this was good. This was decent. There was a couple good jokes in there. I enjoyed the action. I enjoyed where it went in the end. I know some people had some issues with that. But for me, I was all in with this movie.
Yeah, I was. I don't know. Like, whenever you had that, we had the cold open.
Yep.
It's like I felt like I was kind of just I was hooked from that cold open on. So
Yeah.
I can't really talk more about it without like giving a spoiler. So I don't.
Yeah. So we won't get into it just yet, but what did you think about the characterization? So this is, and this is not, I don't think anything that's spoilery. I mean, Harrison Ford is 80 years old. He's
Yeah.
not the spry 40-year-old that we saw in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
You could have fooled me because he was doing some pretty good stuff in this film, at
Yeah.
least as Indiana Jones.
What did you think? Because at the same time, it wasn't the same Indiana Jones. He was slower.
He was a little slower. I don't know. I think he still had the same mindset, right? He just had more years to get a little bit more grizzled
Yeah.
to be more, I don't know, reach his final form, so to
His
speak.
final evolution.
Right? I thought the characters were fun, and Helena was the one that I wasn't expecting to turn out the way she did.
Yeah.
So, but I guess that's also the swerve, right? You see one thing in the trailer, but in actuality, in the film, it's something else.
Yep.
So.
What else? What else can we talk about before we go into spoilers? So it was a decent movie. We liked Indy. We liked that he was a little bit older. We liked Helena.
I thought the tone of the film was very fun. Like it was very. It still had that adventurous feeling to it, which I'm not going to say Crystal Skull didn't have, but there was just something that just made it feel very Indiana Jones,
Yep.
for lack of a better phrase.
Yep, I agree. What did you think about the villain? Because that was sort of a slow burn. It's not like right out of the gate, you know who the villain is because of what they stand for. This was a slow burn, and you try to understand the motivations as the movie kind of progressed. So, what was your take on that?
I liked that a lot. Also, I just think Mads Mikkelsen is great in anything he does.
Yeah.
And I thought he was a perfect choice to be an indie villain. It was a slow burn, and you kind of hope that he's like, oh, you hope that he has better motives than he has. But then you find out the motives and you're like, oh man, you were so close.
Yeah, no. No, they kind of hit right at the beginning that I kind of had the feeling like he was looking for former glory, I guess is what I would say. Fortune and glory.
Which when we start talking about spoilerific stuff, I'll jump it. I'll elaborate on that a little bit more.
Yeah, because there's a couple things that I was confused about, so it might be good to talk it out. But and then henchman is always important, so.
I liked
He had
the stereo. No,
was it
go ahead.
Lloyd Holdbrook? Hoyd, what was his name?
I can't like the character's name or
No, that's the
the.
actor's name.
Okay, I can't.
I think
I
it's
don't. I'm.
Hoyd something. Anyways,
I'm not familiar with the actor's name, but I did like that they had the stereotypical muscle. That was bit like every James Bond film from that era like had like the. Had like the jaws, right? Just like the big dude that was buff.
Essentially,
And I was like, ah, I like that. That's a little meta. I like that.
it's essentially what the bald mechanic was in the first movie. I think he comes back in the second movie. I think he's the big guy, who gets squished in that rock roller.
Yeah, he
The
is.
same actor, but is it obviously a different character? So just bringing that back, you know, that giant dude. I don't want to say what he is yet because it's a spoiler. But yeah, he was cool. And but he seemed like a wall. He seemed like the mountain from Game of Thrones. Like he was a little too big, a little too monstrous. Like, can people really get that big?
I mean, yeah.
It just seemed a little superhuman, I guess. His size.
I mean, I guess I just thought they recruited the right dude for the job.
Probably. Which is, yeah, I need to get into that in a minute. But yeah, I think wrapping this up, I guess. For the non-spoilers talk, because I do want to get into spoilers here. I give it 4 out of 4 indie hats, 4 out of 5 indie hats, I guess. I don't know. I guess if I'm comparing it to Raiders or Last Crusade, which are 5 out of 5 indie hats, fedora hats, I'm going to give this a 4 out of 5.
I'm right there with you. I think,
yeah.
I think my rating now is Crusade, Raiders, Dial, Temple, then Skull.
You started with Last Crusade. Yeah, I think I'm about the same. Like, I could switch. It depends on my mood that week.
That's fair.
Classic Raiders or it's Temple of Last Crusade, because like we said, it's you know, two guys going out to find the chalice, and in the end they find each other.
Yep.
So I think that stands out. But
and one so of yeah those guys is Sean Connery.
That guy is Sean Connery, who's 12 years older than Harrison Ford, so you do the math on what happened when. But
why
yeah,
they
so
had to make him white beard.
So let's jump into sports.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Spoilers here. You could turn off the podcast now. Why haven't you turned it off?
It was so crazy that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's son, the father.
Oh my gosh, that was so crazy. I didn't see that coming.
Oh my god.
L3 was in the movie.
I can't believe the boat sank at the end of Titanic. It was so sad.
It's such a spoiler. Why did you do that?
Oh man.
People haven't seen the movie.
Well, it's been 84 years.
And they haven't watched the news in the past 2 weeks. Why would you do that? But, so one of the things that I love, I'm going to jump into one of the things that I loved about this movie.
All right.
We were hinting at it before with the MacGuffins being attached to some sort of godly thing.
Right.
With the Ark being the Jewish god, the dark god. I forget what the name was, but it was like a voodoo god. It wasn't even like the person they worship. It was like the devil version of whatever the Indian is. And then you know, the Christian god, the Mayan god. Is it Mayan or Aztecs?
It was Maya, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So this was not any god. It was math and science based,
yes,
which was incredible.
Yes. Which the MacGuffin or the dial being the Archimedes dial,
yeah,
or the Antikythera mechanism, which is actually based off of a real artifact.
Yep.
That we actually have,
yep.
Right? We don't have a Grail, and we don't have an Ark of the Covenant, but we actually have the Antikythera, which is some historians, depending on who you ask, what academic circles you're running into, say that it's the world's first computer. You know, it isn't a computer that is 2000 plus years old, and it's the most intricate of devices from the ancient world, so much so that we 100% will not see, they even say this in the movie, we won't see that kind of mechanics for another 700-800 years in like the late medieval era.
Yeah,
whenever we start to put clocks together.
Yeah, in real life though, we don't know who did that, right?
There are some theories out there,
but we don't know 100%, so we can't say that's Archimedes.
There are a lot of historians that do attribute the Antikythera mechanism to Archimedes, but the timeline from how it's dated doesn't line up. But there are some hypotheses out there that there was I don't want to call him a mathematician. For lack of a better phrase, we'll just call him a scientist right now.
Okay.
And his name was Poseidonius, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but it's like Poseidon with U.S. at the end.
Quoted.
but he was like a scientist who created these mechanisms as well, and he lived in Rhodes.
Okay.
And it was originally believed that when the Antikythera mechanism was found in the early 1900s, like 1900, 1901, that it was a Roman ship that had looted a bunch of Greek goods. But it's archaeologists have later dated that no, it's actually a Greek ship that was like a merchant ship that was making the rounds. So I can't remember what century it was. I think it was dated probably about like 100 years after Archimedes had died. So we're second, first century CE, BCE. So not quite to like the era of the Roman Empire. We're still like 150 years away from the rise of Julius Caesar and stuff like that. So, but it's there's a lot of speculation here and there. But it is genuinely agreed upon that it was a mechanism that would follow the transition of the constellations and the planets, or at least the planets that we knew of at the time. So I think it was like everything up to Saturn. So we didn't have Uranus, Neptune, or
everything Pluto. You could see by the visible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I liked how, and I kind of figured that the real device was similar to what they did here, but in Dial of Destiny, there was some talk before this movie was released. It was on some of the websites that I visit, that time travel was involved somehow in this movie. And I was like, I really don't want to see Indiana Jones time travel. Because in my head, I had some sort of Back to the Future scenario. Like,
yes.
That's just the wall. That's the limit for me. I can't do that. What I saw, I was pleasantly surprised, because this was not like Bill and Ted or Hot Tub Time Machine or Back to the Future. There was no device that took people through time. Somehow Archimedes figured out that there's natural wormholes that open up in time. Time fissures is what they called.
Right, right.
And with this dial, you can actually use those fissures for your advantage and go to different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pleasantly surprised by that. And when that happened, I was just like, oh yeah, I am all in for this now.
I also like that the fissure in all of Basil's research, that Toby Jones's character, Basil, his research, that there were only two dates that were written in, that the date was the date of the sacking of Syracuse, or the siege of Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
And the date that was 3 days from the in film date. Mm-hmm. Which was the day that they went through the fissure. So those were those two fixed points in time, and that's the only way that they could go. It wasn't like a, you know, we were talking earlier about Mads Mikkelsen's character and how, you know, now I can say the spoiler is like, it's revealed that he wants to go back and off Hitler before he becomes the starts.
Right.
Not, or necessarily becomes like, what made him gave
he wants
him
the to correct right. He wants all to the perceived mistakes that Hitler made.
Right, he wants to go and bump off Hitler and like become the Führer in his place, knowing what he knows. Right,
yes. He wants to do it right.
He does. Yeah. So let's
walk this back. Stop. Right. That's not what I'm saying.
I know.
In his
it got dicey there for a second.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that, because that's not what I mean.
I know. No, please. I know.
Thank you for listening to the Smugglers Galaxy podcast. We're just going to end this before I say anything else stupid. No. What he wants to do is in his mind do what
he wants
you
to
get
do,
it now people right. you he, get he it saw, I don't need to he, say anymore
right he saw the follies and where he thinks Hitler went wrong in Hitler's trajectory to essentially take over the world, but yes. He wants to go and replace, you know, kill Hitler and become the new Hitler, so to speak, become the Führer,
become the second asshole.
Exactly.
I'll just swear, because I already messed up too much.
So no. but what's interesting is that that's the, for all the research that he's done, that's the one thing that he didn't know, was that like the fissure will only bring you back
so
to that one point in time where he, whenever they go back, he thinks he's in 1939.
Yeah.
But they're, but as they fly through the portal, they're like, yeah, we're clearly in 1939. And I look down at those ships. I'm like, dude, those ships have red sails. You're not, you've hit the BCCE crossover.
Yeah. You're past the zero point. So that was part of my question. So could this only predict one fissure, time fissure?
So I think that's why it's called the Dial of Destiny, right? So Archimedes knew.
It's just a loop.
Right. So yeah. Archimedes knew that the fissure was there, and he created or he created this device that could detect that fissure. But that fissure would only bring you to that one fixed point in time. Mm-hmm. So it was always Indiana Jones's destiny to go through that portal and meet Archimedes. So, and he knows that that it worked because Archimedes, or he went back to meet Archimedes, right?
Yeah.
And then, right. And at least in the context of the film, also when you see that, you know, when you go to the treasure hunt portion of the film, when they're cave diving and they find his tomb,
the tomb,
they have like the little carvings and etchings on his,
freeze.
Exactly. So you see the dragons with propellers on them.
And the propellers were bent exactly how it is in the end of the movie.
Right. So, and then the other thing was that he was wearing the watch.
Yep.
And so.
Was that the Nazi watch or was that Henry Jones Sr.'s watch?
That was the, I think that might've been the Nazi's watch.
That's what I
was
afraid of.
Yeah. I think it was the Nazi's watch. I need to watch it again just to confirm, but the point being though, in, or just my little aside, was that whenever they showed Archimedes' skeleton with the watch on his wrist, and Indiana Jones was like, this technology won't be invented for another 800 years. I thought to myself, if anyone hates on this movie, this is going to be the scene that they harp on. This is going to be the Leia floating through space in Last Jedi.
This is the Jar Jar moment.
And I was waiting, and surprisingly, everyone's been really cool about it.
But yeah,
for a second worked. In the theater, I was like,
It worked.
So.
And then Indiana Jones was screaming while they were in the plane going into the time fissure about continental shifts.
Right.
So A, why did he think of that? And B, it had no relevance in the movie. So it was sort of a red herring for me. Like, why was he screaming? Because he was completely, completely wrong about that.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yeah.
It had no relevance to the story. It had no relevance to where they were going. I think he was kind of suggesting that what the Nazis thought they were doing was completely off because they forgot about something.
Mm-hmm.
Which was continental shift,
which it did work, because remember Mads Mikkelsen's Gevaler was telling the pilot to abort mission.
Yes, at the last minute, Indiana Jones got into his head.
So maybe that was just the whole thing. Maybe that was the whole point.
Maybe, I don't know. But let's go back to the beginning real quick.
You
talked about the cold open. I loved seeing classic Indiana Jones. I thought it worked. There was a couple scenes where it didn't work for me.
A couple scenes that was a little too uncanny valley, but I think overall, like a good 95% of it was pretty solid.
Yeah, and believe it or not, the one that really stuck out to me is, like you were saying, uncanny valley, was the wide shot when he was walking on top of the train.
Mm-hmm.
That screamed, that's not a real person to me.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the early shots, like my brain had to get used to it, I guess, for the aging.
Yeah.
But once my brain clicked in, I was just all in, like, this is working for me. I love this. This is classic Indiana Jones right here.
I think if any of that was took me out of it, it wasn't necessarily the visuals, because they de-aged him, his facial structure really well. But I could still tell that it was like the voice of 80-year-old Harrison Ford.
Like, yeah, and some of the tell movements.
A little bit of, yeah, was a little on the gruffer side, which again, you know, I understand, like, like I'm not mad at it, but like I know I was like, oh, it's weird that they put all that into the visual, but they couldn't do that AI with the voice.
Yeah, because Mark Hamill now doesn't sound like Mark Hamill from A New Hope, but in The Mandalorian, they do use some sort of AI to de-age his voice, I guess, for lack of a better term right now. But they didn't for the movie, for Dial of Destiny.
What I really liked about the cold open too was the shift was they were looking for the Lance of Longigus, there was essentially the Spear of Destiny.
Yeah.
So which I mean I'm sure you probably know this too, but the Spear of Destiny was the subject of the Frank Darabont script that didn't get made.
Okay, I don't think I realized that it was the subject of. I went back to Constantine with Keanu Reeves because that was the big thing in that movie.
No, so yeah, you're correct. But before Crystal Skull even got made, they were pitching scripts. Like Frank Darabont wrote a script about the Spear of Destiny
that Spielberg signed off on.
Yeah,
and Spielberg vetoed it.
Exactly. I think they ended up doing a Spear of Destiny story in a comic book run for Indiana Jones at some point. I could be mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, like I like the fact that they factored in. I would have loved to seen a film about the Spear of Destiny because I thought that would have been the natural progression, right? You went to the Ark of the Covenant. You got the Holy Grail. What's next? That's the
Spear of Destiny.
Spear of Destiny. The spear that had the blood of Jesus of Nazareth on it, right?
Yep.
So, and then I do think that one, they use that concept for the cold open. And then I thought it was equally as bold to just go, it's a fake. And then they just shift gears. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I love that. And the real treasure wasn't the Spear of Destiny. It was this thing that the Nazis kind of forgot about or didn't really care about. That Mads Mikkelsen's character, was it Valar?
Valar, yeah.
He was like, no, this is the thing we need to be paying attention to because we can correct some things in their mind. In their mind, they can correct things.
Didn't he say something like, you know, the Führer wants this because he can be a king with it. It's like, this will make you a god or something like that.
Yeah, because you can essentially, he thinks you can control time with it.
Exactly.
You can go back. Oh, you just made a mistake. Let's go back and correct that mistake.
Exactly.
So you can just keep redoing things.
But then
on the train, Valar gets his face dented in. Like, there's no way. There was a time when I thought throughout the movie that this is not the real Valar. This is somebody else pretending to be Valar. Maybe it's a twin brother or something like that because he got hit by that water tower. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's no way he survived that.
Not only that, but like even if he did survive it, like homeboy came out unscathed. Like there was no like
he had a scar slight, on it. He had a slight Harry Potter scar on his forehead, not lightning bolt shape, but there was a scar there.
Maybe I just wasn't paying close enough attention. I do kind of going back to the idea of going back in time and correcting things. Maybe this is just some kind of like meta theme in the film and I'm just reading too much into it, but that's Valar's whole plan. Like he wants to go and do what Hitler couldn't do.
Yeah.
Which is essentially going back and correct, quote unquote, correcting things. Whereas when you're talking with Indy and Helena and they're having that conversation about Mutt and how Mutt was killed because he enlisted, he got killed in Vietnam, which, you know, I almost prefer that was kind of like it was an important part of the film, but it wasn't more than two or three lines. Like it wasn't something that they
but
they
it's all of his on. Motivation
it is right, because like
he's grieving.
That's not only is he grieving, but that's it was also you find out that caused him and his Marion to fall apart,
separate,
right? And I'm really glad though that the the rules of how the dial worked was that you couldn't go and do that and correct those things in the past.
Yes.
Because had this ended up like you said, a Back to the Future situation where it's like, I got to go back in time and save my marriage. Like, yeah. I thought that would have been a little hokey. Like, I like the fact that they set up the rules and they stuck to them that way. And on a personal note, like, you know, we had in the first three films, you had the Judeo-Christian artifacts, and then you had the Asian artifacts, and then you had the Mayan artifacts. I like this, that this was Greek. Like that was my wheelhouse, especially when I was in college, and like studying ancient and classical Greece was like my jam. So,
but it's a mathematical Greek device.
Exactly.
It's true to the Greek tradition, I guess.
Yeah. You'd say. Yeah. So I like that they went with, a Grecian artifact,
in
mythology then, or you know, artifact mythology rather than actual Greek mythology. But I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and like we were just talking about the grieving whole thing, I thought that was a great move because once I go back and watch Crystal Skull again, I'm gonna come to that with a heavier heart, I guess, because I know what happens to that character.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Shia doesn't really like the character that he portrayed, that a lot of people don't like Mutt Williams. But now that I watch it and the way he acts with this whole punky attitude, I know that punky attitude is going to be his downfall in the end.
Yeah.
He's just going to go show someone up because he can, because he's got this attitude and the chip on the shoulder. That's the reason he dies.
He said like he enlisted just to piss him off or something like that.
Yeah. And he said, don't do it. You're going to die. And he's like, I'll do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it anyways,
and he got killed.
Yeah, and so the Indiana Jones, the slower, the whole reason he's so down on himself is because he's grieving, and through this whole thing, he's able to go back, and it's sort of a suicide moment at the end when he wants to stay with Archimedes. He's like, "No, leave me. I want to be here."
Right. And right. So the Helena's, part where, yeah.
Yeah, they go into the past. They're back in the time when Syracuse is being sieged by the Romans, and he's amazed because he's standing in front of Archimedes, this titan of history, and he says, "I want to stay here. I have nothing to live for. I have nothing to go back to." And Helena found that, you know, living is more important than any device, any amount of money, and this is somebody I care about. I care about this person more than any device in the world.
Mm-hmm. Which so, wasn't her argument at the beginning of the
right
and she's the one that dragged him to that. So
yes, and so for her to come back and say, no, you're going back, and then she's the one that's kind of connecting the pieces and getting his life back in order. As I talk about it, I'm like, wait a minute, this is just as emotional as Last Crusade. So mm-hmm. I thought it, yeah, I love the ending. I loved where Indiana Jones wound up. I thought the ending was a little bit too open-ended with him grabbing his hat. It kind of insinuated he's going on another adventure, which I know is not the case. This is the end.
Yeah.
He's with Marion until the bitter end.
I think so. If I could just back up a second, that whole part where they went back to the Siege of Syracuse. So they fly through the portal. I was not expecting to go as hard on that portion of the film.
Yeah.
As they did. Because like same. when you see the arc open up, like you get to see you see it for 30 seconds and then the film ends, right? When you get the cup of Christ and they pass the seal, the place starts to fall apart. You see it for a very short period of time. They did not hold anything back. They were like, no, this is
we're going to be Syracuse. as historically accurate as possible.
Well, no, but it's like you see tons of Roman centurions. You see Archimedes. You see all of these dwellings. Like you are feet on the boots on the ground in ancient Sicily. Like it is bonkers. And I'm like, I was not expecting them. Like I thought, all right, maybe you'll have a dogfight in the air while the siege is going on, and then they'll get back to like, no, they were feet on the ground in the past. And I was like, that's cool, because I wasn't expecting that to happen.
But that was a slow burn too, because it wasn't like they went into the past and then they cut to Archimedes. They were stuck on that plane for most of it. and it was very ambiguous as to where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while before they said, no, you're back in time right now. This is where mm-hmm. we are. I thought James Mangold's direction there was perfect. Like holding that back from the audience for a little bit just added more tension, and it mm-hmm. drew me in to be like, you know, where are they right now? What are they doing?
Exactly. Well, like I said, whenever they came through and Voller's like, oh, where, this is Sicily, 1939. And then I was like, buddy, those ships don't look older than 1939.
I also like the aspect where they cut to the Greek at one point thinking that the Romans had a dragon. And then they cut to the Romans at one point and the Romans thought the Greeks had a dragon.
Yeah.
Thought that was funny because they were referencing the plane flying around.
Mm-hmm.
The one, I know you're a historian, there's a couple other things I want to talk about, but this one thing that really bugged me, they didn't have phones, they didn't have TVs, soldiers were professional soldiers, they worked on their craft.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why Rome conquered the world, because they were excellent at what they did. I just thought, and they only showed the ones that hit the airplane, the grapples, the spears that they shot.
Yeah,
the spears that they shot seemed to hit every single time. And how difficult would that be for someone who's never seen an airplane before and didn't know trajectory and didn't know what they were looking at? But again, they were like professional. They didn't have phones. They weren't like, let me go check to see what the Kardashians are doing today.
No, I mean, there's some truth to that, right? Like, because there's definitely nothing that was giant like that flew. And then also at that speed, right? Yeah. So a lot of those spears were meant to hit other
boats,
other watercrafts, yeah. right? Like other ships, or if you have like a fortress on the bank of a coastline or something, you know, that would be used to like bust through the walls of the fortress. So I think at that point it's just tension for the film, right?
Yeah, I suppose that's probably the case. But I thought it was a stellar ending. I loved how Helena brought him back. I love the Marion cameo. I thought all of the fan service served the plot. It wasn't like over your head, like, Chewbacca, here's a medal that you didn't get in A New Hope. It wasn't
right. Yeah,
anything like that. Like, Sala was in the movie, and he starts singing a song that he sang in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And if you didn't know that, he was just singing a song. But if you did know that, it brought a smile to my face to hear him singing that song. There's a couple other... Oh. Right at the end, as they were doing the whole kissing thing, my daughter had never seen an Indiana Jones movie, and she thought that was great.
Oh, yeah?
She loved that whole scene where it hurts here, and kiss the elbow. It hurts my shoulder, kiss it was right here.
Yep, it was the callback from
Raiders, that worked. And it was fan service, but it also served the story, too. It meant, like, the ice is melting a little bit, and they're back mm-hmm. in each other's arms, and they're back to where they once were.
To be honest with you, I didn't know if that would have been successful in another film where Indy was estranged from Marion again.
No.
So, but it did work though.
It
right?
worked because it was pretty big stakes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought for a second there, I was like, oh, that's a risky move trying to do that two movies in a row.
But I think
it worked out at the end, and I need to go back and rewatch Raiders myself, because I noticed this, and I know that they're both Star Wars and Indiana Jones are scored by John Williams, so there's going to be a lot of similarity in the score, or at least have that same like feeling in the score. But at the end of Dial of Destiny, when they were standing in Indy's kitchen and they were hugging, and they, you know, it's they're essentially getting back together. The music cue, and I can't remember if it's the same music cue or not at the end of Raiders, whenever they're walking down the steps in DC, but the music cue is very similar to the Han and Leia music cue in Star Wars. You know, that dun 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 dun.
I think it was the original music cue from Raiders.
So right, what I'm saying though, it's like I don't think it's the same thing as the Star Wars, but it was very similar to that. But I can't remember if that one piece of music is the same piece of music from Raiders.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll have to go back and listen. I do have to wrap up because my car died this morning, and I think the mechanics here. But just want to a couple things. When the Germans brought Indiana Jones to the airfield where they took off to go to the time warp, the license plate said SR-14, and I was like, "What reference is that for?" But underneath it, it said 1981. So I'm not sure what SR-14 meant on the license plate, but 1981 is the year that Raiders came out. So I wonder if that was intentional, because they do Easter eggs like that.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, time was ticking over the logo.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty certain that that was a kind of foreshadowing that time has is part of the character, I guess, characterization of this movie.
Okay. I missed that.
Yeah, right when you see the Paramount logo and the Disney castle, there was a part of me that I knew that it was going to open up in a castle at the start of it. And I'm like, are they going to transition from a Disney castle to a Nazi castle?
But I'm like, no.
The imagery doesn't work. I could see why Disney pumped the brakes on that. But other Indiana Jones movie fades from the Paramount logo to something else.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that in the movie. So that was slightly disappointed. And then the neighbor was playing the Magical Mystery Tour.
I did, Beatles. I did like that a lot.
Yep, and so I like that a lot. I thought that worked because that set up that this is going to be some sort of magical mystery tour that Indiana Jones is going to go on.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Yep, it was a reference to it. It was foreshadowing. God. And
that's so good. Damn it!
There was another song that he was playing and. I was into the story, so I can't remember if it was Help, I Need Somebody, you know, the other Beatles song that's famous, like, was Indiana Jones looking for help? And yes, he was, but I don't remember if it was Help.
I can't remember if it was Help either.
But there was a second Beatles song. Also, I just wanted to mention that I think 1936 is too early for the U.S. to have a warehouse of all of the artifacts at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. I don't think, based on what I've learned from the pseudoscience that I'm into with the UFO stuff, that warehouse could exist until like the late 40s, early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my take. I think that's just way too much for 1936.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, my mechanic is something.
Yeah. No. Go get your car fixed.
So yeah, with that, thank you, Jordan, for being here. I appreciate you lending your time tonight. We are going to jump over to the Mickey Mutineers. Right?
Yeah.
That's the other podcast. We're
going to record here probably about an hour and a half.
So go out and Google on anywhere you catch podcasts, Mickey Mutineers, and you'll hear the part two of this episode. We're going to go record that in about an hour. So check that out. Thank you for listening to the Smugglers Galaxy podcast. If you could, please leave a like and a 5-star review of the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. If it's allowed, it really helps us out and points people to our show. You can follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Send us an email or message us. We love feedback, and we'd love to make you part of the show. Our email address is smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com. Thank you to Alfonso Riviera for the Smugglers Galaxy logo, and thank you to Levi Waterhouse for the music. Hasbro, re-release VC66, hashtag vote with your wallet. Sabine will be on next week. Pass on what you've learned. Be a positive force in the collecting community. This is the way.
This is the way.